divine design, order, and glory. Okay? God has a design before the world was created, before you were created. He already had a template for each of our lives, for this ministry, for this region, for this nation, and for the global village. He has a masterpiece. Everything he conjured up and planned was done in the first 6 days. And then he entered this bubble where he was enveloped in rest. And up till today, he is in rest. He had a master plan of knowing how he will take care of heaven and the administration or the stewardship of the earth he has given to sons of God. That's the reason why God had to take up Jesus as a Son of Man and leave the Son of God nature. It's a hypostatic principle where he was 100% Son of Man and 100% Son of God. He could suspend his nature of Son of God and die as a Son of Man and suffer like the Son of Man for you and I. This is what went on. And now we as sons of God have to administer, manage, and steward the resources of the earth. Let me tell you something. These evil people that have already, people that are unconfigured, people that are corrupt, have only used up a portion of the resources of the earth. The rest of earth, a major part is left for sons of God. Because we are the administrators of this real estate called the earth. Yes. God has given you and I not to be poor, not to be governed by poverty, but you and I have been given the privilege of administrating the mountains and the cattle and everything that belongs to God. Amen. Psalm 24 verse 1 tells us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness, the gold, the silver, the resources of the fullness belongs to him. But he gave it to us to administer. That's why he is in rest. And many people wonder, where is God? And we get frustrated with God. No, don't speak to God. Speak to the sons of God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you and I should come to that boardroom and discuss the affairs of the earth while God is in rest. Hallelujah. He has given us everything in the first 6 days. That's why you cannot embarrass him. You cannot insult him. You have to go by his design, his template, his specimen, his plan, his design, his blueprint. We have to match it in Jesus' name. And that's what he has made possible. Now, to come back to that, we that are corrupt, we that are retarded, we that are gone slow, we that are bound by different spirits, ideologies, we have to be released so that we could come and match our lives, bring ourselves back to order. Yes. Order in the house. Yes. Order in our marriage. Order in our family. Order in every sphere of our living. God has to show up. Through what? Through the design. The design has been listed in his manual, the Word of God. In the Word of God. And so I believe strongly that we will see and we will know the plan of God when we come back to order. The first thing that happens when you come back to order, your sight gets clearer. Clarity comes to your sight. And when your sight is clearer, you hear better. There's a connection between sight and ear. It's called what show is this? Show and tell. Hearing and seeing.
Yeah.
And we understand audio visual. Our sight and hearing are connected. And when that happens, you begin to see things from a supernatural viewpoint. Okay, so let's go and see from the Word of God some of the things that we discussed. We discussed so far in our sessions that God gave a blueprint in three different aspects of our of our worship and how we should come together as a family and how we should work together. The first, God gave Moses a blueprint. When we go to Exodus chapter 25 verse 40, put that up please. Exodus 25 verse 40. We see there's an instruction given to Moses. But before he does that, God summons Moses up to a mountain. God never speaks deep stuff in a valley. Neither does he speak deep stuff on a plain. God speaks deep stuff in a mountain. This morning, I want to speak to you, or start speaking to you, about mountains. Mountains, okay. This is what God says to Moses after he summoned him up to the mountain. There's something about mountains, I think, in God's mind. It seems like the elevation changes when you move up into a mountain. Okay? When you're in a mountain, it's something that is different. When you stay in a valley, the danger is that you hear your own voice. And your own voice is very unclear.
Yeah.
It misleads you. It creates a delusion.
Yeah.
And when it bounces back, it speaks to you.
Yeah.
And when your voice speaks to you, some of our voices have got us into serious trouble.
Yeah.
Our minds have been affected. Our speech affected. Our body, our walk in life has been affected because we heard our own voice.
Yeah.
But when you come up into a mountain, your vision is 360 degrees. It's not one dimensional,
yeah,
as in a valley. It's 360. When you come up to a mountain, you can see things from a different perspective.
Mm.
Your elevation changes, and thus your sight changes.
Mm.
What you hear becomes clearer because of the frequency on the mountain,
yeah,
is different from the frequency in the valley. And so God summons Moses up to the mountain and he said, see to it, read with me church, see to it
that
you make the pattern, or you make the stuff that I want you to build. Whatever you are building, whatever you are building, please make sure that you build that system according to the plan and blueprint of God. Here's what God says to Moses. Moses, make them according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. Moses had to go up. And you know, as he goes up in the mountain, he leaves Aaron, he leaves the elders, and he takes his assistant, Joshua. And he leaves Joshua at the halfway in the mountain. And as he goes up in the mountain, a cloud comes and covers him. And he goes into this cloud, and for 40 days, he is in this cloud. No water, no food. I tell you, when you're in the glory cloud, you don't need physical food.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go and read Isaiah chapter 60. There's coming a time when the glory which we will speak about, that will enter this environment or this forum, it will flood us. When we talk and expose the glory will come. And when the glory comes, it'll fill us. There's coming a time where we have to live off God and not off physical food.
Yeah.
Go and read Isaiah chapter 60. And I like what it says as Isaiah 60 begins as verse 1. Arise, shine, your glory has come, isn't it? There's a glory coming upon us. The character, the very essence of who God is, He will come and consume us. He will cover us. And that's what happened with Moses. And he was able to receive and hear the voice of God. And he was a man just like us. Are you with me? So this morning, we have to build according to the pattern in Jesus' name. Then we come to the temple of Solomon. Secured by, the real estate was secured by David, and David, 1,000 years later, here he is, and he is instructing his son provided all the resources, and his son Solomon builds the temple. Okay? 2,000 years later, we will see what happened on Golgotha. But when we come to the next temple, and please turn with me there to Ezekiel chapter 43 verse 5. So we understand God wanted the tabernacle of Moses to be built according to the pattern. He wanted the temple of Solomon to be built according to a pattern that he laid out. And now he speaks to Ezekiel, and Ezekiel had a vision of the temple, and he spends three entire chapters describing the temple and its dimensions in great detail. I want you to go there and read that, because it's very important. I'm going to pick up some points here, and we're going to meditate on these points, very important points. He concludes his report by saying as follows in Ezekiel 43, verse number 5. Read with me, church. The Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Now let's read that again. The Spirit lifted me up, capital letter S. So the Holy Spirit was at work, and he lifted Ezekiel up, and he brought him into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Now let's go to verse 10 to 12 of the same chapter. I want you to pick up some points for me in your hearts, or as you write some notes. And I picked this up and I said, let me just highlight this in this teaching. I hope your bags are open and seeds are going in, and some stuff is going into your bag. Your bag is getting filled, because you'll take it home this week, and then you will make your palatable diet for your spirit man. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. 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 Ezekiel 10 to 12. Son of man, describe the temple to the house of Israel. I want you to know that God is speaking to sons right now. You have the responsibility to describe the temple to the house of Israel, to the community, to the faith community. Servants of God, I want to put us as servants of God, the one that bring grain to you and grace to you. We have to describe the temple. I want you to look at temple as a worship center. Your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which means that your body is a worship center. So we don't come to do worship. We are the worship centers of God. We are the dwelling place of God. We are the residence of God. We are the location where God resides and where he does his thing through us and from us. Amen. Hallelujah. So when we have to come as servants of God, we have to describe the temple, the blueprint, what God wants from us. We are not being entertained. We've come with our worship temples to lay down before a corporate environment where God can come with his glory and fill this place. When you leave this place, you leave this place different. Hallelujah. So we're not this is not the church. This is the building where the church meets. Yeah. If you got that. That they may be ashamed of their iniquities. So when we come together and when we are releasing or discharging a word or a particular concept, we are bringing the people of God to reflect on the iniquity or the state of their being. Mm-hmm. Every one of you, as the word is coming, should have a journal in your mind or in your heart, and you should find a some form of knife in your hand, a spiritual knife, cutting away those things that are contaminated from you. This is a highly intoxicating environment. This is a highly influential environment where the word is influencing you, where the word is coming to you for you to do your own checkup in your life so that the iniquity can be removed. The Bible says where there's iniquity, God does not hear us.
Amen.
We could fast and pray and do all lot of things, but where there's iniquity, God will not hear us. Okay, so we are in this place together as a family where surgery has to be done. But God is, through His Word, is making an incision and removing the stuff that is drawing us down, that is troubling us, that is keeping us in infancy, that is not allowing us to become better people. Come on.
Amen.
So, this place, the blueprint has to come so that we could make the adjustments, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern.
Yeah.
I have to expose the pattern to you so that you could measure the pattern. In other words, you have to see that your life fits in to the mold of God. Okay, this is why this is so important. So number one, let them measure the pattern. The responsibility is upon the people to know the pattern, highlighting the iniquity that stops us from seeing the pattern. So what stops you from seeing the purpose, the pattern, the plan for your life? Your iniquity. The Bible says your iniquity has separated you from your God. So, to close the gap, to bring you better, you've got to know and measure the pattern.
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go. Is that clear? Verse 11. And if they are ashamed of all that they have done, make known to them the design of the temple. Make known to them the design of the temple and its arrangement. Aha. God is so particular, He's so specific, that the design has to be known by the people of God and the arrangement. Why? Its exits, its entrances, its entire design, and all of its ordinances, and all its forms, and all its laws. Write it down in their sight. You may be upset with me, but we have to bring the design. Just like I always said this morning, people don't like to hear some of these things, but you have to write down the design. People have so much of regard and respect for these secular bosses.
Yeah.
They will wake up at 5 and be at work at 7:30, but cannot come to a place where grain is dished out, where spiritual food is coming. Tomorrow the guys that are not here will wake up at 5 a.m., will be ready at 6, will be tomorrow, because tomorrow seeing the secular bosses is more important than seeing Christ. I see people all the time giving, I was sick on a Sunday, but Saturday you were well, and Monday you were well to go on Monday morning to work, but just Sunday how come you have two different value systems? You have so much of regard for your secular work because they pay you. There's coming a day when the pay that they pay you won't be sufficient to sustain you. You need the glory of God. You need the presence of God. And you will only cry out. You'll be at the door, banging the door. Let me get in. But the door will be shut. That's why while you have the breath, sight, and all the other abilities, catch the vision of this word. Catch the essence of this word. Don't make secular environment more important than what God wants from you. Your plan has to be written down for your life. Write it down in their sight so that they may keep its
whole design.
The whole design for your life, for this ministry, for your marriage, for your children. The whole design has to be adhered to. Because you and I are temples of worship.
Yeah.
Whose temple are you? I think, let's go to 1 Corinthians 3:16. Just to confirm that. I hope I got the right verse. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Before you go there, sorry. Okay. Yes. Read together, church. Then you know that I'm speaking the truth. Eh? The prophetic word of Ezekiel is fulfilled in the New Testament by you and I. God doesn't need temples anymore or brick stones, altars. You and I are the temple of God. Read that, please.
Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you?
Take a moment. I'll just give you a moment. Bath that verse, please. Just bath that verse. We learned on Friday how to bath verses. Bath that verse. Read it 3 times, please. Nice and loud.
Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you?
So what do you know about that verse? That God is not interested in buildings anymore. He's interested in you. You are His dwelling place. Take all the muck out, clean it out, and make it ready for Him to dwell inside. Is He going to live in a filthy vessel?
No.
Yes or no?
No.
Is His temple upside down? That's why your preparedness is your house. Go to your house, set your cupboards properly, set your kitchen utensils properly.
Yeah.
You know, take out the dust from the corners of the cupboards. And if you don't need help, Joey will come and help you. And, you know, it is my master of having his house all prim and proper. You see, that's a preparedness. You see, after preparedness is the reception. You prepare, and then the reception takes place. Okay, are you with me?
Yeah.
So, it's your physical life, get it in order. Because when it comes to this high level of preparing the temple of God, which is your life, it's easy. You'll know how to implement the principles of preparedness. Hallelujah. Do you need some inspectors to come and help you? We could get that. Get the physical level first, sorted out. Get your grass cut. Get your things sorted out. Get your home in order. Get everything. Set up your, you know, set all things out. And when that happens, hallelujah.
Yeah.
First the physical, then the spiritual. Amen. First the natural, then the supernatural. Okay, you're about to enter a new realm. And every level brings that new realm to you. Amen. So, go back to that verse, the last part. The last part of verse 12 of Ezekiel. So are you catching something this morning?
Yeah.
God has a specific plan and design for each of our lives.
Yeah.
Okay? He didn't send us as rookies, didn't send us as people that were disorientated. We were well crafted.
Yes.
Handcrafted. Hallelujah. There's no two people the same. He made each one unique. And He sent us into this earth. Look what He says here. This is the law of the temple, the whole area surrounding the mountains is okay. Go back to verse 11. Sorry, David. Look at the last part. So that they may keep His whole design and all its ordinances, and I like this verse, perform them. You can't be spectators. You have to make an effort to clean up your act, clean up your life, get your life ready as a dwelling place of the Most High God. That is the design of God.
Yes.
That is the design. Can you harbor unforgiveness? Yes or no?
No.
No. Can you harbor any habit that is that affects the presence of God? No. We all may have been fallen somewhere in our Christian walk, but we can't remain there.
Yeah.
Get up and go forward. Get up and go forward. Get up and go forward.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Don't stay where you are and wallow in self-pity. Get up and go forward. Come on.
Yeah.
You and I have been designed, in these are last days, designed to go forward. So mountains. Mountains. What is the importance of mountains? There are over 500 references to the word mountain in the Bible. Mountain. When Jesus is sharing with His disciples and He takes them where?
To the mountain.
On the mount. when he talks to them about the Beatitudes, he takes them up to the mountain. The mountain determines who is prepared to sacrifice convenience. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, place that up, please. Jesus has a whole crowd following him. This is a mixed crowd, and remember, the crowd is very dangerous. The same crowd that he took care of, they crucified him. They said, "Give us Barabbas." They crucified Jesus. Very people that he fed, the very people that he blessed, the very people that he gave his life for every day from the morning till the night, are the people that joined the group that said, "Crucify him." Be careful of a crowd mind. A crowd mentality only wants things. A person with a crowd mentality won't want to go forward. A person with a crowd mentality doesn't want to sacrifice. A person with a crowd mentality doesn't want to sit down and hear the word of God. They want to be entertained. Yeah. And the church is not a place of entertainment. The church is a place where adjustments are made.
Yes. Yes.
Operations take place. Surgery takes place. Diagnostic lookups take place. And where we find the solution to life's problems. Go on.
Right.
Okay. You're going to leave this place different. Some of your bags are already getting full because it's a level at which you hear. Yeah. Your hearing affects how your bag gets full.
Right.
You may listen to me, but not necessarily hear me. I want you to listen and hear me. I was hearing yesterday the same words used by one of the Russian member of parliament from Russia, and he was speaking on the news, and he said, "The West is listening to us, but they're not hearing us. And if they don't hear us, we're going and destroying. We're all prepared with our nuclear weapons. We'll destroy everything. We want them to hear us, not just listen to us. Coming here is not listening to me. You can listen to my voice, but your mind is somewhere.
Yeah.
Your bag won't get full. I need your bag to get full so that you go home, and your home is a place where you start activating,
right,
performing some stuff, working some stuff out, and removing some stuff, examining stuff, and questioning some stuff, interrogating this word so that it becomes food for you in Jesus' name. So look at this. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a
mountain.
He went up on a mountain, and when he was seated on the mountain, his disciples came to him. The whole crowd that was following him in chapters 1 to 4 had the opportunity to follow him up the mountain, but they did not, because they were not prepared to sacrifice their convenience to climb up. Only his disciples, those that loved to hear him, those that gravitated to him, those that had a connection, those that not only listened but heard, they went up. And when he was on the top, his disciples came to him. Is that right? And in three chapters, chapter 5, 6, and 7, Jesus teaches some of the most profound stuff on a mountain.
Yeah.
Come on. You'll never hear this stuff when he is ministering to people on the plains of Jerusalem. It's on the mountain that some of the most potent stuff comes out. It's for this reason I am going to cover Mount Moriah, Mount Ararat, Mount Carmel, the Lord's Mountain, the mountain called Golgotha, and the Lord's Mountain in the book of Revelation. There are so many inferences, but I will just pick some of this key and look at some of the principles that will drop over this congregation from the mountaintop.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Let God give me some time today to cover at least one, Mount Moriah, because I want you to catch something. But look at Jesus. Was he perturbed that the crowd didn't come? He understood it'll only take those that love the deep things of God to sit at his feet.
Right. Amen.
And we're going to look at, when we come to this mount, we're going to look at some of the most powerful principles of the kingdom that's discussed on this mountain. And only 12 people were listening to it. Hallelujah. But today we are privileged to have this recorded for us, and we will break it up and install it into our hearts. Go to 5, 6, and 7. He's teaching. That must have taken a whole day. 5, 6, powerful stuff. And then verse chapter 8, verse 1. Let's see what happens after he finishes teaching. In chapter 8, verse 1. 8, verse 1. What do you see? They're all waiting. Must be patiently walking up and down. When this fellow will come down? We need our food. We need our children blessed. We need some healing. But we're not prepared to hear all the deep stuff. Come on. Isn't that not church today? Church is our church is programmed today. This is our church. When he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. But he was not chaffed about the great multitude. He was chaffed about the 12 that sat and grasped the deep stuff. I'm praying to God that we will have that company of 12. He's an apostolic company that will say, man of God, break this word for us. Give us more for us. This coming a time will be like the Bereans, spending our Sunday afternoon with our families around the word of God. Will be like those in the house of Tyrannus, getting for 2 or 3 years, I think 2 years or 3 years, Paul gathered his disciples, failed on the courts. They were beaten up always outside. And they said, we can't spread this gospel throughout Turkey or Asia Minor, known as Turkey today. We can't spread this gospel. Every time we go outside, we are getting beaten. This is what we'll do. We'll get the 12 of us. We'll sit, his disciples, 12 of his disciples, Paul, will sit and dialogue the word inside the house. Mm-hmm. For 2 years, they dialogue the word inside. Yeah. By dialoguing the word inside deeply, the whole of Asia Minor was saved outside.
Amen.
How's that? Yeah. That is a powerful principle. Yeah. Sometimes you don't need everyone to push. You need a few connected people to bring down the glory.
Yeah.
Are those people in this house?
Yeah.
I say that again. Are those people in this house?
Yeah.
Are those people in this house that can place a demand on God and plunder the heavens and bring down resources that will reconfigure a company of people and be presented
Hallelujah.
To the global
Amen.
Church as aligned sons of
yeah.
God?
Yeah.
It's going to happen
yeah.
in this house. Already in our mentoring session on a Tuesday night now, people are getting blown by, not by me, but by the word.
Yeah.
The word does the job. Hey, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. So we trust in God that this will go on in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So mountains are mentioned frequently in the Bible. In the Old Testament, you have the Mount Sinai, Mount Zion. And of course, Mount Zion is a very significant mountain. We will talk about Caleb at age 85 in Joshua chapter 14. He doesn't ask for food. He doesn't ask for any resources. And you know, he's from the tribe of Judah. And Jesus comes from the tribe of Judah. Caleb was one of two people, the original now, Joshua and Caleb, one of two that made it throughout and ended up in Canaan. All the rest died in the wilderness because of their moaning, grumbling, lack of sensitivity. They all died. Only the babies that were born in the wilderness, and you know, there were many babies. Israelite families were huge. Many babies were born. They grew and they made it into the promised land together with Joshua and Caleb. And Caleb asks for a mountain. He asked for a mountain when Joshua was distributing land. He came to Caleb and Caleb says, give me this mountain. Which mountain? Talk to me. Hebron. He said, give me Hebron. And we will discover the importance of this mountain called Hebron before we go and we find the essence and importance of the mountain called Zion. Come on, church.
Yeah.
We are going to discover the importance of mountains. But for the time that's remaining for me, oh yes, there's it. Okay. I thought you had Joshua chapter 14. Now let's look at the significance attached to some of the mountains mentioned in the Bible. The first one we're going to this morning for the next few minutes. I'm going to go very fast. Can I just go through my notes and you can take notes down so that we can finish off ASAP. So I'm going to go through my notes. These, the Lord gave me these things. Okay, let's go to Genesis chapter 22, Mount Moriah. Now, before I go there, let me give you a revelation. Let me give you a revelation. Mount Moriah, as we sang about the lamb today, the lamb came as a substitute for Isaac. You all know that?
Yes.
Now, look at this if we have to work with numerics, biblical numerology. Joshua, Abraham comes in the story and he looks ahead, and after 3 days, three is very significant. After 3 days, he sees the place where he has to sacrifice Isaac, his son. Okay? We're going to go through the story, okay, this morning. Now, 3 days is divided into 2 days plus 1 day. Now, 1 day plus 2 days. This is how I'm going to take it. On the same mountain, Moriah, Mount Moriah, Isaac was going to be sacrificed, and a substitute lamb was taken. 1,000 years later, David secures this place to build the temple at Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. The very same mountain, the very same place, Mount Moriah. Are you with me? So there's a connection right now in your minds with Abraham, with David, and with Jesus. If you go to the book of Matthew chapter 1, when you read the genealogy, there's a connection between Abraham, David, and Jesus. Okay, so yes, Mount Moriah, Abraham is taking his son to sacrifice. 1,000 years later, on the same mountain, the temple is built. And Solomon builds a temple on the same mountain. One day, okay? 2 days later, because 1 day is like 1,000 years, and 2 days is 2,000 years.
Yeah.
2,000 years later, Jesus is crucified on the same mountain on Golgotha. So when Abraham saw 3 days, he saw prophetically, we are saying, 1 day out of the 3 days, on the same mountain, the temple is built. 2 days later, or 2,000 years later, Jesus from the tribe of Judah hangs on Golgotha, the place of the skull, and the essence of all things. This is, they will come back. The importance of Abraham sacrificing Isaac is to show us the importance or the true meaning of worship. When we come to the temple, 1,000 years later, the temple was used to worship. Then Jesus culminates and brings us to the importance of true worship when he told us in John chapter 4, you must worship God in spirit and truth. He gave his life on Calvary as true worship, surrendering all to God.
Amen.
So let us speak on worship this morning in Jesus' name as we go to Mount Moriah. And you know, I was blown when I just saw these points, and I just said to God, thank you for showing us, you know, bringing us back to the heart of worship. Bringing us back to
Amen.
The heart of
Praise
worship.
The Lord.
And worship is obedience, the fear of the Lord, and the surrendering of yourself. So let's read Genesis 22. Then he said, take one of your sons, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go. There are many things you may love in your life, and it's important in this economy, God's economy, that you can lay down the things that you love. The things that you love, sometimes you can't place God below your family, below your children, below your career, below. God has to be number one. He occupies the number one spot. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians, talk to me, church. 1 Corinthians 3:16. So you're not your own. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You remember you were going to hell. You had a father called Satan. You are of the kingdom of darkness. Can you remember?
Yes.
Somebody came your way and changed that destiny.
Yeah.
Brought you back to your original plan. Can you understand?
Yeah.
Some of your experiences were done recently. Last year, 10 years, 20 years ago. Can you remember your salvation history? That's why if you remained in that part, you would have been forever lost with your previous father, Satan. And you would have gone to a Christless eternity. But God changed you, brought you into his economy, loved you, cleaned you, washed you, gave you new garments. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And today you have a new name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. So you've got to be forever indebted to him. Amen. Amen. And go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. God is so specific. God is so specific. You can't just have someone else's plan for your life. God is so specific. You go up to the mountains. How come that Isaac was not sacrificed in the backyard of his house? Why must he be taken to a mountaintop and his father had to walk 3 days? And then sacrifice him. There were 318 sons in Abraham's house. His servants called them sons, okay, because he turned them from servants to sons. He had 318 sons in his house. He could use any one of them, but he had to take the one from himself.
Yeah.
The one whom he loved. Hallelujah. And sacrifice him. How about you, parents? God came to you and said to you, would you give away your child? You would be saying, get behind me, Satan. Be careful. Sometimes God works in mysterious ways, but he has a genuine end to what he wants.
Amen.
Amen. Always see him as a loving father. So, yes. And burnt offerings on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abram rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young sons or young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Specific. Okay? Specific. So Abram rose... next one. Put 3 or 4 verses if you can. Then on the third day, Abram lifted his eyes. See, third day. Can you see? He lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. And Abram said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. Hear this. Underline this. The lamb and I will go yonder and... He was going to kill his son. But he's telling his servants, the act of killing my son, the person I love most, is an act of worship. This is my worship. And he said, and the two... Okay, continue, verse 5. Sorry, guys. I didn't finish verse 5. The lamb and I will go and worship. And this is the most important part of this verse. And I will come back. Which means, can you read this whole thing? Keep the verse there. I'll tell you when to change it. Just keep it there. We are going to go and we are going to come back. But I'm going to kill something. But the kill thing I'm going to kill, I'm bringing back. Come on, he's declaring some stuff to his two sons, not knowing how this is going to happen. Come on.
Right.
Think about this. He had a prophetic sight about how God is going to arrange his days after this. And he said, we will go worship and we will come back to you. Next verse. So Abraham took the wood, laid it on Isaac his son, took the fire, took the knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father, and he said, Papa, Dad. He said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire, the wood, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? I think it'll tear parents' heart.
Yeah.
At that point, when you know you're going to lay down your son, how you feel, parents? The son is asking, where is the sacrifice? You're saying the Lord will meet. Come on. Right? Let's go very fast. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So two of them went together. And I want us to go home and read the third point, and I have 5 minutes more. I just want to raise some points. Some points, and we'll finish off it. It's 22:9 now. Okay. Mount Moriah, Genesis 22. The first thing, we see the Lord's demand. And we see Abraham's response. Demand, respond. When God demands, you must respond. When God demands, you must respond. You'll be demerited if you don't respond accurately. In the sense that, as we read, Gabriel read, those that love the Lord receive the attention of the Lord. Those that are righteous will receive the attention of the Lord. All of this is conditional. You got to love the Lord. You got to love His word. You got to be righteous. You have to be absent from iniquity in order to have a relationship with God. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay. So we see the Lord's demand and Abraham's response. God demands something that is way out. And how does He demand? He puts His son through a test. Okay? So sons get tested at each stage of their growth. In this church, in each stage of your growth, there's a test you have to go through. The goal is to pass the test. Amen? Testing always precedes promotion. Testing always precedes promotion. Let it be known that self-promotion or promotion by others can never replace divine promotion. Promotion requires sacrifice. If you want something, you got to go through the process of sacrifice. Amen. Amen. And sons must have a positive attitude. I want to share that next week with you on the spies. Sons must have a positive attitude. I want you to take some notes down, please. I want you to read this. Avoid excuses when he needs something from you. Avoid excuses. Go to Luke 14. We know about that. One said, I can't come to services. I'm going to get married. Jesus said, disqualified. Change another date. Jesus comes to the fig tree. He wants fruit out of season. The fig tree said, it's not my season to give you fruit now. Jesus said, dry up. When he is demanding, you have to be available. Come on.
Yes.
There's so much of casualties in the body of Christ today, throughout the earth, is because people have excuses. And one of the key excuses, this church here, I'm sick, right? Not feeling well. Blatant. And the Holy Ghost is folding his arms and watching you. Don't lie to the man of God. Don't lie to your home church leader. You're not sick. You can make it. Tomorrow you'll get to work. But this is how it is. These are excuses that make. And if you go to excuses, I'm opening a business. I can't come. Jesus said, disqualify.
Yeah.
You can read Luke 14, 15 to 24. Make notes. Luke 14, verse 15 to 24. Tomorrow you'll read that. When he wants something, Abraham did not make an excuse. He was prepared to lay down the thing he loved most, his son. He was an old man. God revived his seed. God revived his organs. And he was able to bring forth a son at his age. He's going to treasure that. But God said, lay it down for you. You understand what I'm saying? Avoid excuses when you need something. Next, don't lose your respect and your dishonor him. Most of the time, he will come to you through his servants, bringing a message from God. When people don't accept the message, they indirectly fail to have regard for God. See, I am a servant of God. I just bring a messenger bringing the word of God to you. If you shout at me or do anything, it doesn't affect me. It affects God that stands in me to speak through me. Are you with me? If you dishonor. Now, I want you to read on Tuesday. Read this parable, Matthew 21, 33 to 46. I don't have time today. It's going to take me a long time to unpack these things. But I'm giving you because I need to get to the next mountain. Matthew 21, 33 to 46. When people don't accept the message, they indirectly fail to have regard for God. Okay. Now verse 2 we read tells us that when God instructs, he's very, very specific. This is the divine blueprint, the order, the design we are covering. Please do not argue or ignore the divine mandate. When the word of God speaks, I urge you as servant of God to bow down. Mm-hmm. Bow down at the word. This is a place called worship, a worship center. Okay, I think I'm going to stop right there. There's so much more. Can we just continue next week?
Yes.
Or next after week? Next week we have the team. Next after week on Mount Moriah. I don't want to rush this. I think there's something very nice. We're going to set our lives in order according to the blueprint.